For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I quickly tell a story, please?
Sure.
Please, because Kay is livid, like just going off on the phone right now when I was just talking to her in the break. And I'm sure she's like, what are you telling that on the radio for? But I'm going to tell it on the radio. Frank Madden's on hold. He knows how this works. Hi, Frank Madden from the Lockdown Bucks podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well, Sparky.
Okay. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's Live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Frank, you've got kids, right, down there in Texas?
I do. I've got two girls, 1-year-old and 6-year-old.
Oh, you're early. You're going to get a kick out of this story then. Hold on one second. So I got a senior in high school. The boy is 17 years old. He'll be 18 in February. He keeps telling me and his mom, hey, I'm good to go to college. I'm way more responsible than you give me credit for. I got it. Don't worry about me. He scares us to death with common sense stuff. So do you know what happens? She's at home taking a nap with the 2-year-old on her day off today. He comes home from school. She had made a pan of brownies last night, right? And he and everybody had brownies except me. So there's one left. She's like, okay, I'm going to hide it from him so he doesn't eat the last one while I'm sleeping. So she sticks the pan with the brownie into the oven, right? She wakes up from the nap. She goes, what is that smell? What is that? She goes downstairs. There's a half-eaten frozen pizza cooked sitting on the counter, which he made and ate half of. Never apparently realized that the pan with the brownie was in there the entire time. So the whole thing is burned to a crisp, stuck on the pan, smells to high heaven, and she is livid. Oh, I didn't know there was a brownie in there. I didn't see a pan in the oven, Mom. I don't know what you're talking about. Frank, get ready, buddy.
I don't know. That sounds like the kind of thing that my wife would accuse me of doing. So, like, I actually I'm immediately like, boy, could I have done something like that? And so now I'm feeling a little bit of sympathy for him.
Oh, but, my God. Well, trust me, I'm not at home. I'm glad I'm not, because she is hot to trot right now for that boy. I mean, she is furious. And again, it's just, I don't understand. How do you open an oven door, look inside, and not realize there's something else in the oven when you put the pizza in the oven? Like, how do you not see the other thing, Charlie?
It's dark in there, man.
It's dark in there. It's got a light in the oven. It's not dark in there.
It's dark enough. You know, you're hungry. You got to put a pizza. I've probably done the same thing before, probably pretty recently, and I am 23 years old. So you know what? You learn and you forget. You know, you move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is currently texting me going off about him. She even put the leftover pizza in the refrigerator for anybody else to eat. And he ate the cheese pizza, which I was going to give to the 8-year-old. And, oh, she is hot right now. She is hot. I'll say this, Frank Madden. I was not hot last night watching this Bucks team. I was ecstatic. I was happy. I was elated. And that, Frank Madden, is the Damian Lillard everybody was waiting for last year.
Yeah, I mean, look, was this the, you know, end state version of the Sixers? Obviously not. But, you know, I was kind of joking on Lockdown Bucks with my co-host Camille Davis. Like, I podcast after every Bucks game because I like talking about the Bucks. I care about every game. And, you know, maybe game one, but I think starting well matters, especially for a Bucks team in a really competitive East. And you just got to win against a team that thinks that they're a contender, thinks that obviously they're in the same class as the Bucks. A lot of people pick the Sixers obviously ahead of the Bucks, and you just got a road win. And again, some opportunistic aspects of it. But I think to me, the two biggest positives were on the offensive end, Damian Lillard looking comfortable, doing Damian Lillard things. And, you know, I was kind of joking about it on Twitter, like, when Dame's good, he takes bad shots and they go in. When he's not doing so well, he takes bad shots and they don't go in.
Yep.
And he's just an incredible shot maker. And, you know, look, Steph, I think, is a much better off-ball player than Dame. But if it's just talking about, like, off the dribble, guys dribbling up the floor, taking a high screen, who are the most dangerous players, not just now, but in league history. I mean, Dame is up there. I'll accept if somebody wants to say Steph, maybe a little bit better in that scenario. But maybe look at the stats on like really deep 3-point shooting. Like Dame's actually been like by far the best guy in terms of really deep 3-point shooting. And, you know, we saw it again last night. Like there's just nothing the Sixers could have done when he was kind of starting to feel it there in those middle two quarters. So, you know, I think for Dame, it's really a question of just consistency. Like, can he do that, you know, at least two nights out of three each week rather than one night out of three each week? He's not going to do that every night. He's not going to shoot 50% from three every night. But if he can look like that more often than not, that's obviously, I think, a lot of times where guys, as they age, it's not that they can't still be great on some nights. It's just harder to be consistent night to night. So, again, he doesn't have to do exactly that every night. But if he can be more of that guy and less of, you know, the 6 of 19 guy that sometimes it's going to happen, especially with his shot selection, then that's obviously a huge boost to the Bucks. And so, yeah, I'd say Dame's offense. And then I don't know if you want to talk about the defense and Brook Lopez.
No. Hold on. We'll get there. Hold on. I want to stay on offense for a little bit here. Offensive changes maybe that this coaching staff instituted that maybe we didn't see last year. I think the bigs playing in the high post was one of them.
Yeah, a lot of Giannis at the kind of right elbow extended. Yep. I liked, yeah. And here's the thing, you know, last year, early in the year, the offense was great, right? The Bucks, there was, you know, under Griff, lots of things to question, especially on the defense. I always thought it was a good thing that they didn't just rely solely on Giannis game pick and roll. I actually was fine with how much Brook Lopez was used, especially that very high screener. In addition to, obviously, you still obviously need to use Dame and Giannis together in plays. But it's interesting. I thought their offense kind of got a little bit more predictable as the year went on. Their offense got worse as the year went on, even though they leaned more into the Dame-Giannis pick and roll. And I think they need to find that balance. I like the balance they had last night. You still saw a few examples of Giannis and Dame working together. I like Giannis and Dame kind of working dribble handoffs. Gives Giannis an option with the ball in his hands. You can hand it off. You can attack the guy off the dribble. And then you kind of open up different things. If you do a handoff, then you immediately got kind of a screen and roll with Dame. Obviously, you can still run high pick and rolls with Dame and Giannis. You're still going to do some of that for sure. But, you know, I like the fact that they still had Brook screening 35, 40 feet from the basket for Dame to give him a bit of a runway because, you know, look at the matchups you get from that, right? Who's guarding Brook Lopez? The biggest, slowest guy on the floor probably, right? Who's guarding Giannis? Especially for the Sixers, it's wings, guys that are better suited to defend on the perimeter. So I think you got to find a balance there. And for me, I think Dame in particular really benefits greatly from having a mixture of that, getting Brook Lopez setting screens, because Brook also sets better screens because he's just going to stand there and use that huge body, whereas Giannis is usually trying to flip a screen even if he's kind of getting some solid contact. So I liked, especially as the game went on, I think I liked some of the variety, some of the kind of secondary stuff they got into, some of the cutting. You know, Brook Lopez, 6 assists. That was pretty cool. Didn't expect to see that. Bobby Portis, I think, and Brook both seem like they are trying to be a little more conscientious about passing, especially when they get into sort of those two-on-one situations, kind of rolling to the basket. So, I mean, everybody looks better when three-point shots are going in. So it's going to be nice when the threes don't fall the same way as it did last night. But as far as opening games go, you know, mission accomplished. I thought the offense looked good. And I don't even think Giannis was, you know, kind of obviously peak powers Giannis. It seems like he's still kind of getting up to kind of his full powers. But, you know, ho-hum, 25, 14, and 7, right? Like, for Giannis, just kind of another night at the office.
I have nothing on Giannis to talk about, none whatsoever. I looked at that the same way as you did. Ho-hum, okay, that was a nice night, but it wasn't special. Not for by Giannis standards. But you brought up three-pointers were going in, especially there in the second half. We talked about this offseason by the work that John Horst did with the three additions that he picked up to kind of redo this bench a little bit, and we were all happy with what he did. Torian Prince, yes, he's not going to hit that many threes on a
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
consistent basis. But you can just see what he provides on both sides of the floor. That's going to be a huge addition over what they had last year.
Yeah, I mean, Jay Crowder was on fire early last year. Folks might remember. Then he got hurt and kind of the wheels sort of fell off his season slash his NBA career at this point. But yeah, I mean, Prince shot 39% from three last year. You kind of know what you're going to get. He's going to be able to knock down, you know, kind of open catch and shoot looks. As you said, not going to make 4 out of 5 every night. But yeah, he's just a steady guy. And I think knowing that you've got a guy who is sturdy enough on defense and can knock down those open threes and didn't turn the ball over, neither Prince nor Gary Trent turned the ball over last night. I don't think Connaughton did either. You know, that's kind of what you want from those guys, right? Like they kind of just play a role, let the kind of creators create, and, you know, punish the other team when those guys draw attention. So we'll see. You know, again, hopefully if Torian Prince can shoot 39, 40%, I think we'll all be very, very happy. And, you know, hopefully he also gives you kind of consistent, more versatile defense than we saw from Crowder last year. Because, I mean, it's kind of crazy. You look at the lineup data, and you look at, I think, like lineups more than 500 minutes. The Bucks starting five with Chris had the best net rating in the league. And the second best net rating in the league was the starting lineup with Jay Crowder. So they figured out it was mainly when Chris was out for that extended period, that 6 weeks following the ankle in February. But they played well, you know, even with Jay Crowder in there. And so certainly last night, I mean, I think they absolutely need Chris and his creation, especially in the playoffs. But if you can survive when Chris is, you know, kind of taking it easy, coming back, slash back-to-back, things like that, obviously that shows you why Torian Prince can be really important. And certainly you can make the same case for DeLon Wright over Pat Bev, as well as Gary Trent over Malik Beasley, especially as a two-way guy.
Frank Madden, Locked On Bucks podcast. Follow him on Twitter at FMaddenNBA. Charlie Huzin was all over this at the end of the regular season doing our post-game shows and then into the postseason about, you know, Brooke Lopez and Giannis maybe not having the best defensive year, but a lot of that had to do with what they had defending in front of them, kind of screwing them at points. Last night, Damian Lillard talked about having Gary Trent's defense out there as well and how that's helped everybody behind him. You wanted to talk about Brooke Lopez, obviously, earlier. 6 blocks, 8 boards. Couldn't ask for much more from Brooke Lopez than what he gave you last night.
Yeah, I mean, set the tone early. You know, I was messaging with, you know, our good friend Eric Naim, and in Eric's post-game piece, he really focused on the Gary Trent side on defense, and I thought he did a great job kind of highlighting how Trent, you know, did everything he could to defend really one of the hardest guys that you might ask Gary Trent to defend, right? And Gary Trent, I don't know if anybody, you know, is equipped to stay in front of Tyrese Maxey, but he's certainly a guy from a quickness standpoint would challenge anyone, especially, you know, Gary Trent, not known to be like, you know, a all-league point guard defender. He's going to have to defend different types of players. He had a tough job. But, you know, I think Brooke just being enormous and playing smart, challenging when it made sense to do so. You know, I think sometimes I thought the team got caught ball watching a little bit when Brooke was challenging shots. Nobody was boxing out at various points, especially in the first half. Giannis, I think, got caught sleeping a few times, letting Sixers get offensive rebounds. But, you know, I thought Brooke looked good defending the paint in the preseason, you know, for all the kind of concern last year about the drop off. You know, he was still a really important piece of the Bucks defense. I don't know how this Bucks team defends at a high level unless Brooke Lopez is, you know, doing what he's capable of and being a major part of that. I do worry about him playing 36 minutes. I think they need to figure out how to use him a little more judiciously, especially given his age. But, you know, again, I think just a testament to him, the way he's kept his body in shape and just kind of stayed ready and prepared and, you know, didn't have his jump shot working last night. But again, when he's defending the way he was last night and walling off the rim, I mean, he's still one of the best in the league. And also just, you know, you think about the idea of trading Brooke Lopez and trying to kind of turn the page and figure out what's next. I mean, you look around the league, how many guys can protect the rim anywhere close to the way Brooke can while also being a threat from deep and space and the floor? I mean, you're talking about a group of guys that's probably on, you know, you can count them on one hand. So again, the Bucks will have to confront that at some point, but at least for now, you know, crossing my fingers for Brooks' continued good health. He looks sharp, and they're going to need him, I think. I think he's still probably night to night, especially in the regular season, probably the kind of linchpin of that defense. As good as Giannis is, I think Brooke, you know, really sets the tone from a foundation perspective in ways that no one else does.
Last question. Minutes played last night. We talked about this earlier. 36 for Lopez, 38 for Lillard, only 31 for Giannis. I like that number for Giannis going forward, 30, 31 minutes per night. That's where I like to have it. 36 and 38 for two old guys, not a big fan. I feel like that's a lot of minutes to look at. What is concerning, I think, to a degree, is Doc Rivers and these guys talking about wanting to dominate in the regular season. And we all know that you can dominate in the regular season. That's not going to do much to help you necessarily in the postseason. You don't want these old guys to get worn down as you try to, quote, dominate in the regular season. Any concern from you on that angle?
You know, I was a little surprised when the game ended that Dame had played that many minutes. I think you look at DeLon Wright, I think only played 13. So I think sort of toggling those in opposite directions a bit, I think, would be something that, you know, you'll hopefully see more on a regular night-to-night basis. DeLon getting more in that 15 to 20 minute range. I think DeLon also can be useful playing with Dame being that kind of defensive bodyguard next to him, especially when Trent is resting. So I'd like to see probably Wright play more. I think with Giannis, obviously some of it was foul trouble as well. I think they were trying to manage his minutes, especially in the first half. But part of it too was, I mean, they got on a roll in the second quarter without Giannis on the floor when Dame really started to orchestrate that offense. So I totally agree. I mean, again, I worry a little bit less about the minute totals and more just about kind of what we're seeing. Are they missing games? You know, are there injuries that they're having to play through? Like, that probably gives me a little bit more pause because, like we saw last year, I mean, you know, Giannis was doing fine until he wasn't. And it's just fortunately just kind of came at the worst time. But so we'll see kind of how they manage it. But to me, I also would kind of counter the idea of, you know, I get it. Focus should be on keeping those guys healthy for the playoffs. But I don't think the Bucks can just sort of sleepwalk through the regular season as like a 6 seed or, God forbid, a 7 seed, and then just expect to flip a switch and, you know, win on the road 3 straight series to go to the finals and, you know, eventually hopefully win the finals, right? I mean, I think they have to establish a foundation in the regular season, and I think they have to win enough games that they're getting at least, ideally at least, home court in the first round. Because if you're not, then, you know, you put yourself at risk of stuff happening, right? We saw last year, stuff happens, right? You miss one guy, maybe you can overcome that. You miss Giannis and Dame for part of the series, you're not going to overcome that. So it's an impossible, I think, kind of calculus to figure out exactly how to optimize it. There's going to be luck involved. So hopefully they can manage those minutes. I think hopefully we'll see them be a little more judicious in terms of back-to-backs and things like that this year. But, you know, again, I think the goal for this team should be building the foundation that, honestly, we saw early in Bud's tenure in particular where they could rest guys and they had the structure and the foundation, right, and the depth that they could win games just, exactly, based on kind of the infrastructure. So
yes,
that to me was what was completely lacking. That's where they really got hurt last year. When Dame and Giannis and Chris were on the floor, they were awesome. When those guys weren't on the floor, or only one of them was on the floor, suddenly they were a negative differential team. And that's the biggest difference between last year's team and what we saw before. So if they can get more of that kind of structural foundation on both ends right, then I think you can, again, have a little bit more freedom to manage guys' minutes as well. So that's probably that should be the goal.
He is Frank Madden, Locked On Bucks podcast. Check him out on Twitter at FMaddenNBA. And you will love that podcast. I promise you, Frank Madden is amazing. Frank, thank you so much for coming on, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
You betcha. Take care. Have a good weekend. There he is, Frank Madden.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.